Be seated, Matthew chapter 14. Pray for Pastor Armacross as he's working through some of these details with the Hodges. And he was scheduled to preach today, so I said last night, hey, I can do it. Can I do anything for you? He said, would you mind preaching in chapel? And so I worked on a message last night for a while, and then this morning the Lord kind of redirected my thinking, maybe just specifically for this time. And it's something I have spoken to the Jollies about, but I've kind of put a message together. Because the truth is, we're going to deal with storms. And sometimes, it's nice to be able to look at the Weather Channel. Of course, they're not always right. But we can't always prepare for what's coming. And I called the Hodges' son today, and he's driving, and I said, I don't really know what to tell you. I don't have words. I'm not real good with words anyways. So it's hard for us in our minds to say, yeah, this is what you should do when this comes, when this happens. But truth is, we don't know. Frankly, I'll be honest with you, I hate storms. I know a week and a half ago, I drove to Cleveland in a snowstorm. And it took me an hour and a half longer than I planned, and I had all my ducks in a row, and I had my hotel reservations and when I was going to get there, and it took me a lot longer. I don't like storms. I don't like sleeping in storms. It's too noisy. It messes up my sleep. It seems like it messes schedule. If you have an event planned and a storm comes and it messes things up. So frankly, we don't like storms, but there's a purpose in storms. Somebody said this about rough times. God brings men into deep waters not to drown them but to cleanse them. A clay pot sitting in the sun will always be a clay pot. It has to go through the white heat of the furnace to become porcelain. The problem is we don't like those times, but God's going to take us through the storms. So what I'd like to do is walk through a passage in Matthew chapter 14. Entitle this, Don't Let the Storm Steal Your Song. Don't let the storm steal your song. Let's pray. Lord, help us this morning. It's good to know that you hear our prayers. It's good to know that in the midst of the storm, you are there. Lord, this did not come as a surprise to you, and that's an encouragement to know. But Lord, we're tempted often when the storm comes for our song to fade away and for bitterness to rise up and for question marks to fly in your face. And we need to be careful that we don't just throw out the whys and understand that there's a reason behind the storms that come up. So I pray that we would just look at our lives today. We heard Sunday a message that hopefully reminded us of the brevity of life, and then tomorrow evening we're reminded in a very vivid manner of the brevity of life, and it might cause us today to get right with the parent. It might cause us today to get right with you. It might cause us today to get right with one another. But there's a reason that you bring these things into our lives, and it's not to cause us to run from you, to cause us to run to you. And so I ask that you use this text that you've directed my attention to bring comfort to all of us here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, but put the phone down, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him, raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that he was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, someone asked the owner how the bird was recovering. She said, "Well, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares." You know, it's a silly illustration, but I think sometimes we get hit with things, and sometimes our service stops. Sometimes we get the fist raised up in God's face and say, "Why?" I invited a cousin of mine to church a while back, and he said, "Eric, I haven't been to church in 25 years. Why would I start now?" Well, the reason he stopped going to church was because his brother was killed drunk and driving, and it became God's fault. And so sometimes storms come and it just shuts our lives down. And I want to encourage us today, don't let the storm steal your song. Paul and Silas sat in a prison cell in Philippi. You know, they were facing a storm. None of us probably have dealt with anything quite like that. But yet, while they were in the stocks, while they had been beaten for doing what's right, we know what they did at midnight, didn't they? They prayed and they sang. Now, I can't sing. I do it in one place that's in the shower so nobody can hear me, all right? But I tell you what, there needs to come a time where we can stop and say, "The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide. He's a shelter in the time of storm." Some of you are going to be leading ministries, and this is going to happen. What are you going to do, shut down? You know, what people need to see is that you can still keep a song in the midst of the storm. Some of you ladies are going to have to deal with one day maybe a child that's lost. These things run through my mind now as I begin to think, it could have been me. I told my kids this morning, it could have been your dad. No amens, please. No rejoicing. But it could have been dad. It could have been one of them. And what it does is it causes us to stop and consider our lives and say, you know what? What is important here? Is it video games? No. We stop and say, that can be pushed aside. Now we've got people. We got souls. We got lives. We got eternity in view. So a storm doesn't have to take away our song. So let's look at this text today. I'm just give you a couple things because really we can't prepare for this, but I think it's good for us to consider what could happen, what we should be, what we should do in the midst of a storm. Matthew 14, verses 22 and following, it says this, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, in the midst of what? Of a storm. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Nobody likes to deal with these particular storms. We don't like tests necessarily. It's easy to sit in class and take notes and so forth. But then when the test comes and finals will be upcoming here shortly, hard to believe the semester is coming to a close. And the teacher, yes, is going to be in the classroom, but the teacher's not there to give you the answers. And that's what a lot of times we want. College life, in a sense, is pretty easy. We sit back and you just kind of, you're going to do this and you're going to do this and you're going to do this. And sometimes, men, when you're sitting in an office and, excuse me, you're going to be sitting across a desk from somebody and they're going to come and they're going to lay on something that's happened in their life. And you're going to sit there and you're going to be just dumbfounded. What do I say? What do I do? And for them, that may be tears are flowing. Maybe they've lost somebody. Maybe there's been a terrible situation happening to them. What are you going to say then? That's when reality settles in. Now it's not just a classroom setting where you're just kind of cracking open a book and you're taking a quiz or a test. Now you're dealing with storms, and what are you going to do? There's a song in times like these. I know we've done a lot with these hymn stories as of late, but when I thought, what do I tell a student body? What do we tell church members in times like these. That song was written right around World War II, when things weren't, the Allies weren't really progressing and so forth, and I'm not going to go all into it, but a pastor's wife was praying and reading some of the newspapers, and she just started putting down some words to that song, "In Times Like These." You're going to have in times like these. I don't know what they are or when they're going to be, but I'll tell you what, we need to prepare ourselves for when the storms come. So let's just look at this real fast, this text. I'm just going to give a couple things. How can we prepare for storms that are coming? Number one, remember it was Jesus who sent the disciples into the storm. Look at verse number 22 of our text. "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away." Now, normally when you go to a doctor's office, they basically tell you when their times are available for you to have an appointment, right? You don't go and say, "Hey, this is my schedule. Could you work around it?" I know sometimes they'll ask you, but pretty much they'll say, "This is the appointed time. This is when we can meet. This is our schedule. We work around it." Can I remind you? It is appointed unto men once to die. I like scheduling. I love organization. I like putting things on a schedule. But there's one thing I can't put in my calendar. It's when I'm going to die. But God knows that. And God's going to send his people. He's going to send them. The Bible tells us he constrained them. He urged them to get into a ship. God plans our life. Look at the timing of this storm. Just before this, if you look in your Bible, you'll see what takes place. A miracle. He had just fed the 5,000 plus. To me, it's almost like he doesn't even give them time to gloat. Now, I don't know. I love good times. I love when people feed me, if I can say it that way. I love blessings. But it's almost as if Jesus has these disciples. They go around. They're serving. They see a wonderful miracle. The multitude wants to make Jesus king. Jesus sends them away out of an exciting, if I can say it this way, an easy time, and he sends them into the midst of the storm. It's like, Lord, don't we even have any time to enjoy ourselves? Can I remind you, after blessings, we just had a great Empowered Youth Conference, didn't we? At least for me, it was great. The Lord worked in hearts. Some folks got saved. You can't beat that. But sometimes after those blessings, after good times, God's going to put us in the midst of a storm. And we have to understand it is his appointment. Our storms are his appointments. Storm wasn't an accident, but it was an appointment. So understand the storm was for the purpose of the Lord. Number two, understand, first of all, it was him who sent us into the storm. But number two, it is he who sees my situation and my circumstances. Our storms are not only his appointments, our storms are his concerns. I like that. Look at verse number 24. But the ship was now where? In the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Wouldn't it be nice if our life was never contrary? Now, I was watching the college basketball team on Sunday night, enjoying life at my expense. They were cheering and yelling and screaming and jumping up and down. It wasn't happy times for me. It was contrary because I wanted to win. I didn't want them to win. Can I say this? As you serve the Lord, there's somebody on the opposite side that doesn't want you to win. He doesn't want you to bring those young people into church to see them trust Jesus Christ as Savior. He doesn't want some of you young men that are praying about ministry. He wants you to be distracted. He wants you to be disturbed. He wants you to be depressed. You know why? Because he's contrary to you. But it doesn't always have to be on the negative side, because sometimes Jesus sends us into the storm to test our faith. A faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. That's important for us to understand. We like the life of Paul, and we like the life of Joshua, and we like the life of Moses, but what made the difference? It was the test that they went through. Our storms are his concern. So can I say this? In the midst of the storms, it is he who sees us in the midst of the storm. I'm so glad to know that Jesus is concerned with my life. I'm glad he is. I've got great parents, faithful parents. I've got a great church. I've got great friends scattered across the country and even this world. But I'm so glad I have an even greater God than that. Peter says it this way, casting all your care upon him. Why? For he cares for us. You can go to God today. The Hodges can go to God right now. You know what? I can't always be there for him. But even Jesus, when he left, he says, I'm leaving, but I'm going to leave you somebody. Who did he leave for us? He left the Comforter. And I'm so glad, because there's times where I would like to go and embrace somebody and try to give them words of encouragement, but I just don't know what to say. But the Word of God can come alongside. The Holy Spirit, that's exactly what he is. He is the one called alongside to help us, and he comforts us. Aren't you glad we have that? But these storms are not, they are his concerns. It's interesting that Jesus tests the disciples. Some of them were fishermen. He tested them a lot of times on the water, didn't he? Sometimes he tested them close to the shore. They came in after a long day's work, and they didn't catch anything, and he just tested them where it was calm. We know he tested them when he was sleeping. Sometimes when we pray, guess what? It seems like he's not there. But he tests them in the storm while he's with them. This time, they're all by themselves. So God's going to bring different storms to us, different circumstances, different situations, but they are still his concern. Let us be encouraged by that. Number three, quickly. Not only remember that these storms are his appointments, he sent us there. These storms are his concern. But number three, remember he is praying for me. Look at verse 23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. In the mix of Jesus sending them away and somewhere in the middle of the storm, we find the comforting thought. He was having a prayer meeting. Now, I said it last week. I'm glad that people pray for me. But to know this, in the midst of the storm, prior to the storm, Jesus is praying for you? You can't beat that. And here he is. We don't know what he was praying for. The Bible doesn't tell us, but we know he went up into a mountain apart to pray. Maybe he knew that someone was going to be a bit discouraged. Maybe he knew the storm was going to come, but Jesus was praying. We do know this. Even sometimes when we don't even know what to say in our prayers, Jesus helps us even then too. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He is our high priest. He prays for us. He helps us, not just in the good times, but in the midst of the storm. Our storms are his burdens. He bears them with us. Number four, quickly, remember in the midst of the storms, he's going to speak to us. Look at verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Can I just go back and say this? Jesus went to them. In the midst of our storm, we find ourselves running to them, but the Bible says this. James writes, draw nigh to God and he will what? He'll draw nigh to us. These are encouraging verses, fellas. These are encouraging verses, young ladies, because in the storm, it's easy to draw nigh to the Lord, but I'm so thankful that Jesus went to them. They became his concern, his burden. But our storms are also his opportunities. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Let me encourage you. In the storm, listen to his voice. You say, but Mr. Amos, Brother Amos, the thunder is crashing really loud. The wind's really blowing hard. I'm not sure I can hear his voice. Listen to his voice. He says, it is I. He doesn't say, it's Jesus. He said, it is I. They could somehow recognize the fact that it was Jesus in the midst of the storm. That's encouraging to me. This is opportunities. Be open, not opposed to his word in the storm. Again, most people will just, why, God? Why did you allow me to lose my job? Why did you take that family member? Why did you do this to me? Why? That's not our time to ask why. It's our time to listen to his voice. That was the calming for the disciples to know that Jesus was there. I encourage you to get better, not bitter. I've seen a lot of bitter people in the midst of the storms. When Mr. Wright answers his phone, he says this. Hey, this is me. I teach my kids, hello, this is Marissa. How may I help you? You know, whatever. And they kind of give, but not Mr. Wright. At least me. I don't know how he answers his phone with everybody else. I'm like, that's weird. This is me. But I know who it is. Listen, Jesus says, the good shepherd says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John chapter 10 talks about, says this, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Listen to this, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In the midst of the whirling and the winds of storm, listen for his voice. He's trying to let you know, I'm here, I've come to you, I'm here to help you, let me encourage you, I'm here. But notice, even while he's walking around in the storm, the wind still hasn't stopped yet. The thunder's still crashing. So this gives us the next thing. Remember, in the midst of the storm, he will strengthen my faith. Our storms are his classroom. Oh, no, you're like, classroom, I'm ready to leave. It's Thanksgiving break. I'm out of here. Every storm is a good lesson for us. I don't know what the Lord has for the Hodges through this time. I don't know. He's the teacher. He has the curriculum, if you will. He's saying maybe there's a lesson of love to learn that in the midst of the storm, I'm here to help you. We know that there was a lesson of faith for Peter because Peter, watch me close, Peter stepped out of the boat. He learned a deeper lesson than all the other disciples. I don't know, but in this storm, we can all learn something from the teacher. Some are going to learn just to sit there and say, well, that was kind of an interesting situation. Others may say, you know what? I'm going to learn the brevity of life in a more real way. I'm going to get right with people. I'm going to get close to people. I'm going to reach as many more people because I just don't know if they have tomorrow. But Peter was willing to jump out of the boat. Both groups, Peter as well as the others, had to learn a lesson in faith because Peter went out. He says, Lord, if it's really you, I'm not sure. Now, we pick on Peter a lot, but watch me close. He's the only other one that walked on water. I would say his faith in that storm got stronger than the other disciples' faith in that storm. Now, it's easy to preach about him. It's easy to preach about those that step out and start ministering. You're like, look at them. But you're still sitting in your dorm room or sitting on the bus or watching them do the extra service. Storms are going to come, but it's up to you how well you listen to the voice of Jesus to how much stronger you're going to go. So Peter learned faith, but the other disciples, because when Jesus calmed the storm, he says, why were you fearful, O ye of little faith? Now, let's give them credit. They got in the boat at least. They launched out, yes. And the storm came, and they didn't go back to shore. They continued on, at least doing what Jesus... So there was some faith there. But my challenge is this. When the classroom lesson is taught, how much are you going to get out of it? In this case, it's storms. It's interesting how people see things differently. There were 12 spies that went to the land, and two groups came back with completely different reports. Did they see the same things? Help me out. Wake up. This is time for you to wake up, all right? Did they see the same things? Same fruit, same giants, same milk and honey, same whatever. And they came back with a completely different report. Through this, there's going to be people that come and say, wow, man, I saw God in a more real way. And there's got others that are going to be saying, rah! Just the way it is. So this is a classroom time. The teacher's trying to teach us some lessons. I've gone to hospitals on different occasions with the intent of encouraging people that are in the hospital. When I leave, I usually feel this big spiritually, and the people in the hospital bed are the ones that lifted me up. It's backwards. You know, a lot of times they'll say, man, God has been so close to me. About 15 minutes before chapel, my sister grew up with Mr. Hodge, so I shot her a quick message. She had already known, but I didn't know if she knew or not. I shot her a message, and then I asked her an update on her cancer because just, I don't know, a month or two ago, she was diagnosed with cancer. And she made the comment in her text, I don't know how anyone could go through a trial without the Lord. She didn't know I was preaching on this today, but man, I tell you what, this is just another step to just say, this is what you're supposed to talk about in chapel this morning. My mom went through cancer. Similar statements. I don't know how people can go through a trial without a church and without God. The Lord's going to test you, and this is the part we don't like. Some of you right now financially are getting tested. I don't know if I can continue on. I owe $1,200. Now, $1,200, I get it, can be overwhelming. But wait till you have a child and that child gets sick and that child goes in the hospital for about a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks and you owe at the end $100,000. Then what are you going to do? I mean, just to put braces on his face was $5,000. But what's happening is the Lord's putting you in a little bit of turmoil to strengthen your faith. Because if you can get